Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's 38 Special, bringing us back 7 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend Andrew Sherman, attorney with Jones Day. Global law firm, jonesday.com. Andrew, your books are available wherever books are sold, especially Amazon. Just go to Andrew. Look for Andrew J. Sherman.
Yep, I've got an author page on Amazon, and that's probably the easiest way to find the Sherman Collection, as my wife calls it.
Yeah, exactly. About 20 now? 20 books?
A little over 20, yep.
Yep, so check those out, folks. And I'm pretty sure I've launched every one of them. All but maybe one or two on the show. I think the first one was licensing and franchising and licensing, right?
Yeah, you.
I did launch that one.
Very early
that
in one. My writing career.
Yeah,
Jim.
I launched that one in '99. So, all right. You made a statement in the last segment that I want you to explain yourself, Lucy. You said, "What's the future of EBITDA?" Now, folks, earnings before interest, taxes, and amortization is the interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. That's almost your bottom line with a few qualifications. So just kind of think of it as your bottom line in a way, if you don't know how to calculate EBITDA. But tell the audience what EBITDA does, why people rely on it, and why you're saying that it might have a limited life.
So we've been talking about M&A in the capital markets and how companies are valued when they go to be bought or sold. For many, many years, one of the primary arbiters or measures of value was a multiple of EBITDA. So if I had earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization of $1 million, and it was a good company in a good market, I would sell my company generally at 5x or 6x EBITDA,
right.
And I knew I could count on a buyer paying $5 to $6 million for my
business. Because what was delivering that EBITDA was some kind of a taproot, some kind of a foundation, a fundamentals foundation under it that included people and assets.
That's right.
And market penetration.
That's right. But if you look at M&A over the last 5 years, you've seen companies being bought and sold, particularly in the tech space, but not exclusively, around a whole different set of metrics. Metrics that have nothing to do with earnings.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the WhatsApp acquisition by Facebook at $19.5 billion.
Right.
Well, WhatsApp had zero earnings. In fact, they were losing money.
Right.
What they did have was a very, very large number of users. And so Facebook said, well, we can compete with these guys or we can buy them.
Right.
And they certainly didn't calculate
Facebook
the value
based on earnings. Facebook didn't say that. Zuckerberg did it without even talking to the board. So it wasn't Facebook. Zuckerberg bought that company.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's another interesting topic for another time. But the valuation metrics are evolving towards these intangible assets.
But what you're describing is what we're heading toward. We've already seen. We saw it in 1990. We saw the bubble. You're describing the potential for a bubble coming up.
Well, it's very interesting whether is it a bubble or is it the new normal, right? Is it a bubble or is it that we need better metrics? I mean, you know, you look at Google. Google only has 2% of its entire balance sheet is tangible traditional assets.
Mm-hmm.
So really I'm saying not that it's bubble or not bubble, because it could be bubble. What I'm really saying is, we need new metrics. We need new measures.
Well, look at you talk about Facebook. Look at Facebook. When they went public, they had essentially no customers, but they had 900 million users. What's the value? What's the value of a user? I talk about this all the time. What's the value of a user?
That's exactly the right.
20 years ago, there was no such thing as a user, as an influencer.
Well, don't you think at some point our accounting systems need to catch up to the fact?
That's a good point.
Companies have these multi-billion-dollar valuations.
That's exactly right.
Based on a new set of assets that nobody can touch.
And how about the banking industry?
Yeah.
What if I want to build a new website and I want to borrow $100,000 from my bank to build a new website because I don't want any investors? And they say, okay, tell me what's the serial number of that website. You know, that's what they want. And I say, well, it doesn't have a serial number. Well, you know, that's how we loan money.
Yep, exactly. They're still living in an Article 9 secured transactions world.
That's right.
When more and more of our business growth is tied around a whole different set of money.
I've been warning bankers for 15 years, guys. You're going to have to learn how to loan money to something you can't file a UCC on.
That's
right. And I don't know. I don't know whether the regulators are going to let them do that. Good discussion, Andrew. Good. You really brought some good ideas to our to the front, and we're looking forward to the next visit.
Well, me too. Have a great week, and wishing all of our small business and entrepreneurial listeners, fantastic month of September.
And by the way, happy New Year too, Andrew.
Oh, thank you very much.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence. Not perfection. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.